It's good to be with you again today. Last time I was here with you was, I guess, the community Thanksgiving service. I think that was, seems like a long time ago, but it wasn't that long. First of the year seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? But it hasn't been that long. Well, it is good to be back. Since September, I've been involved as a faith team leader at Eastgate Baptist Church. Now, faith is the Sunday school evangelism strategy that is now being, I guess, promoted by Lifeway, which used to be known as the Sunday School Board. And the reason I became involved in this as a team leader, I have two people that I am mentoring and training and equipping them, preparing them to become team leaders next semester, so that hopefully each one of them will take two people out, like I have taken them out, and that they will train those. Each of them will have two people and train them, and as it progresses, more and more people will be equipped. But the reason I became involved in this is because all Christians have the obligation to be involved in evangelism. You know, the Great Commission wasn't given just to pastors or just to pastors and a few key people. The Great Commission was given to all Christians. And I understand that. Christ has commissioned all Christians to go and make disciples of all nations. We are to teach people to do all things that Christ has commanded us to do. And, of course, one of the best ways to teach them is to do it ourselves, isn't it? That we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And Jesus said that he will be with us in all ways, at all times, and in all places. And remember, Jesus has the authority to command us to do this because all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. And so he has the right to authorize us. He has the right to command us to go and make disciples of all nations. Another reason I am involved in this faith evangelism strategy is kind of builds on top of that. It's because of the obligation that I have as a Christian to be involved in sharing my faith with others. And because I'm in the ministry, let me say this. As Christians, the longer we are Christians, the fewer and fewer non-Christians we really know and may have contact with. And when you're in the ministry, it gets even fewer because when you're in the ministry, you're dealing primarily with your flock, if you're a pastor, and you know the members of your church, and most of them are Christians, not all. And when you're an associational missionary, you know, you're dealing primarily with pastors and church members, most of whom are Christians. I think all of our pastors are Christians, but many church members probably are not Christians. And so I realized that I had the responsibility to be sharing my faith with the unsaved, but I wasn't having the opportunity to come in contact with a lot of unsaved, and so I made a commitment to become a faith team leader at Eastgate, even though my membership is at Westside, and to train some others so that they will become involved in witnessing, sharing their faith, but also so that I would have the opportunity to come in contact with the lost people and have the opportunity to share my faith with them and thus fulfill the command that has been given to me. Because of the commission that we have received, and because I know from personal experience that most Christians won't be involved in sharing their faith with others unless they are planning to do it, unless they're doing it at a planned time, I chose to make this commitment to the faith evangelism program at Eastgate Baptist Church. You see, I know that as Christians, well, we're all busy. And things get crowded out of our schedules often. And evangelism is one of the things that often gets crowded out of our schedules. We just don't have time to do evangelism. The thing is, you know, evangelism is something we're supposed to be doing all the time, but we often don't have an evangelism mindset. We don't think about witnessing to people that we encounter. And That's one reason to have for a church to have a planned time of evangelism or planned time of outreach, so that the members of the church can begin to develop an evangelism mindset, so that they'll think about sharing Jesus with others at other than that just the planned times. You see, we are to be witnesses everywhere we go. We are to be witnesses all the time. But just this last week, I went to another type of evangelism training called The Net, and that is being produced by the North American Mission Board. And there I heard a figure that surprised me. They said that 92% of all Southern Baptists die without ever having once shared their faith with another person. And you know what? As a denomination, we're doing better than most of the others. And yet, 92% of all Southern Baptists die without ever having once shared the faith with another person. Now, some people say, well, I witness through my lifestyle. But, you know, the way we live really isn't a witness. The way we live can confirm our witness, or it can deny our witness, but the way we live really, that in itself isn't a witness. If you were subpoenaed into court and you took the oath of office, or not the oath of office, you took oath or swore in the Bible, whatever, that you're going to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. I guess they do that in court. I've never been in court. I used to watch Perry Mason on TV, and, you know, they did that on Perry Mason. And I don't even know if they do that anymore. But if you took an oath and then you sat down on the witness stand in the chair there, and the prosecutor or the defense attorney came up and started asking you questions and you never said anything, it wouldn't be long before the judge would instruct you to answer the lawyer. And you couldn't say, well, I'm witnessing through my lifestyle. Well, you know, we don't witness until we open our mouth and say something. Our lifestyle can confirm our witness or deny our witness, but it really isn't a witness that's going to lead someone to faith in Jesus Christ. And that's what we're supposed to be doing as Christians, is sharing Jesus with others. And so I made a commitment that I'm going to intentionally be involved in evangelism, because I needed contact with lost people, since I primarily am dealing with Christians most of the time. I made that commitment not only for myself, but also to equip, hopefully, two other people. And my two team members are Patty McClure, and Tony Shoemaker. And this coming Wednesday, they take their final in the class. We will complete this semester. And then in March, we're going to begin the next semester. We had hoped to begin earlier, but Brother Levi has to have knee surgery, which kick him out of it for about 3 or 4 weeks. But Tony and Patty and the others will be taking their finals, and hopefully they'll be confident enough to next semester lead someone else in faith, and I'll get two new people to train in this. But while I was going through faith, I was reminded of five facts that I want to share with you this morning. Five facts that we're all familiar with, but five things that if we really think about them, should burden us and should motivate us to get involved in sharing our faith with others on a regular basis. Even if it's, you know, say, only through a planned evangelism outreach, but really all the time. But I want to share these with you this morning, so hopefully that it'll motivate us all to become more faithful this coming year in sharing Jesus with others. The first fact is that not all people will be saved. Not all people will be saved. The universalists are wrong. The universalists teach and believe that all people will be saved. All people will eventually go to heaven. The universalists believe and teach that basically all roads lead to heaven. They say there's only one God and everybody worships the same God and everybody's going to go to heaven. Well, there is only one God, that's correct. But not everybody worships that God, and not all roads lead to heaven, do they? Not everybody's going to be saved. Now, we wish everybody was going to be saved, but that's not the case. Not everybody will be saved. A moment ago, Chuck led us in the reading of Matthew chapter 13. And in that parable, Jesus was declaring very clearly that not everybody will be saved. The interpretation of that parable is found beginning in verse 38. of Matthew chapter 13. Jesus says, the field is the world, the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares or the weeds are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus clearly says, not all people will be saved. He talks about this separation, that the tares, the sons of the evil one, the tares are the sons of the wicked one. He says they're going to be gathered up and they're going to be thrown in the fire. They won't be saved. They are going to be forever separated from God. Not all people will be saved. Not all people will go to heaven. Now, all people could be saved. All people could go to heaven. When Jesus died, he died for all people. But the fact of the matter is, not all people will be saved. And it's sad to think about that. Now, many people profess Jesus, maybe in their homes. As we go out witnessing, we share the plan of salvation, and they profess Christ, but they never come to church. And they never profess him in church, and they never profess him anywhere else. What are we to think about these people? Well, look at what Jesus said in Matthew 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I'll also deny him before my Father who is in heaven. Merely professing that you're a Christian does not mean you're a Christian. It doesn't mean that you possess Jesus, or better, that Jesus possesses you. So, the professing doesn't make you a Christian. Perhaps a person does come to church, gets baptized, joins the church, becomes active in the church, goes to Sunday school, but then after a while drops by the wayside. What are we to think about them? Well, in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus says this, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Acting like a Christian doesn't make you a Christian any more than acting like a dog makes you a dog. To become a Christian, you've got to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's how a person gets saved. You don't get saved by joining a church. You don't get saved by being baptized. You don't get saved through any good work of your own. And the first fact that we need to realize is that not all people will be saved and go to heaven. But, you know, that shouldn't discourage us from sharing our testimony with us. That shouldn't discourage us from witnessing to others, because we don't know who will be saved and who won't. God knows, we don't. And so we need to be involved in sharing our faith as often as we can and with as many people as we can. We need to be involved in witnessing. We need to be fishers of men. Jesus said in Matthew 4:19, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. Jesus said that if we will follow him, he will make us fishers of men. We don't have to make ourselves into fishers of men. He will do it if we are following. If we're not fishing, that may suggest that we're not following. Because he said if we're following, he will make us into fishermen. We need to be following the Lord and become involved in the work of sharing Jesus with others, the task of evangelism. And the amazing thing is, Jesus is willing to use even me. He's willing to use you. He's eager to use us. He will use us. He desires to use us. If we'll just make ourselves available to him, he will work through us. and use us to lead others to place our faith, their faith in Him. So the first fact is, not all people will be saved. Second fact is, the majority of people will be lost. The majority of people will be lost. Look in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. There are many who go in by it. And narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Now, as I picture this in my mind, I picture the gate to heaven as a turnstile. If you've gone to a professional football game or baseball game or basketball game, or if you've gone to many concerts or to Cedar Point or a place like that, you know, usually you're going through a turnstile. And in a turnstile, you enter one at a time, don't you? And becoming a Christian is the same way. You know, there's not a group plan, or there's not a family plan. It's one at a time becomes a Christian. One at a time. It's a narrow, restricting gate that allows, you know, one person at a time through. And that's the picture of the gate that leads to heaven, as opposed to the gate that leads to away from heaven, you know, to hell. It's like just throw open a big gate and come on in, everybody. You know, there's no restriction there. Now, this verse, I looked it up in the Greek, some of the key words, just to see if it means what it seems to mean. And you know what it does. This verse means exactly what it says. That word, many, means exactly that. And many, an abundance, a large amount. Probably the vast majority of people are lost and will be lost and separated from God for all eternity. We are told by our denomination that 80% of the people in the United States, a Christian nation, 80% of the people do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. 80% of the people in Genesee County, that's 350,000 people, do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. 80% of the people in your neighborhood do not know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. The majority of people are lost and will be lost for all eternity. Now, that often brings up the question, how can God just stand by and let the majority of people plunge into hellfire for eternity, eternal separation from Him? How can God do that? Well, the fact of the matter is, God doesn't make that happen, does He? God doesn't make people go to hell, nor does God make people go to heaven. God gives us all a choice. We're making choices all the time. We make our choices, and then our choices make us. You're here today because you made the choice that you were going to be here today. You're not here by accident. You didn't just fall out of bed and find yourself in church. You chose to get up and get cleaned up and straighten up your hair. And I know how you look in the morning because I look the same way. I can tell you put some effort into it. Some of us, Dick, have to put less effort into the hair deal, don't we? But we've got to put some effort into it. And we get here because we make the choice to be here. And people are making choices all the time. God provided the way to heaven for all people. But the sad fact is, not all people, in fact, probably a minority of people are going to choose to go to heaven. The majority of people will choose to continue just the way they are and be forever separated from God for eternity. If you are a Christian today, it's because you have chosen to be a Christian. If you are not a Christian today, it's because you have chosen not to be a Christian. It's a choice. Now, some people say, well, you know, to not choose, you know, that you're not making a commitment. Well, if you don't choose Jesus, then you're choosing to reject Jesus. You're choosing the other way. There is no neutral ground. You could choose to follow the Lord Jesus, But the choice is yours. You can continue on the way you are if you're not a Christian. To not choose Jesus right now, if you're not a Christian, is to reject him right now. That's just the way it is. And the choice is yours. Now, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me." Jesus didn't say, "I am a way," did he? One among many. Nor did he say, "I am the best way." Why? Because he is the way. And no one comes to the Father except through him. There are lots of other religions, but they're not worshiping the same God. Not all roads lead to heaven. Not all religions lead to heaven. Not all people will be saved. In fact, the majority of people are going to be lost. They are lost right now. It's not that they will be lost. They are lost. And if they don't do something about it, they will be lost for all eternity. If you want to go to heaven, you have to make a choice. We had to make a choice to choose to trust and follow Jesus Christ. If a person doesn't want to go to heaven, they can just continue on the way they are. And maybe they're religious people. Maybe they're baptized people. Maybe they're church members. But if they haven't chosen Jesus, they're not going to make it to heaven. But you know, one reason why so many people, now this isn't the only reason, but one reason why so many people, the majority of people, are lost right now and will be lost for all eternity is because more of us who are Christians are not busy sharing our faith with them. Again, 92% of Southern Baptists will die without ever having once shared their faith with another person. And yet, statistics reveal that 50% of those who come to know Jesus are won to faith in Jesus through the witness or the testimony in some way of a friend or family member. And statistics also reveal that 50% of the unchurched will come to church if somebody will just invite them. Usually a friend or family member would invite them and they'll come. And it seems that the lost are more eager to get saved than we are eager to have them get saved. The unchurched are more eager to come to church than we are eager to have them come to church. Because we're not inviting, we're not testifying. 92% don't ever share their faith. That's sad. You know, the fact that 50% will come, 50% will receive Christ, or 50% of those who receive Christ will do so through our testimony, that should encourage us, that should motivate us to want to get, if we don't know how to share our faith, to get trained. If we do know how to share our faith, that should motivate us to get involved in sharing our faith. You know, sometimes it's difficult. You know, the reason we don't share our faith is, you know, there are many different reasons, but fear is a big thing. And so it's good to go out in, you know, in teams of two or three so that there's boldness there. And, you know, I'm not, and many of us who are pastors, and I'm one of them, you know, it's not that I'm more bold about doing this than the average church member, because when I go out and, you know, knock on doors, there's times, I hope they don't answer the door. I hope nobody's home. You know, I feel the same way about it as most Christians do. And yet, if I could go out in my own strength and in my own confidence, where would be the need for the Lord in that? You know, I'm going out not because I'm gung-ho about doing this. I'm going out because I'm commanded to, and I know that the Lord will use me. He's proven in the past, he's used me in the past, and he'll continue to use me. All I need to do is be faithful. And you know, if we will go out, God will bless and send people in. From my experience, as I've gone out knocking on doors and witnessing, you know, when I was pastoring, and now Levi's sharing the testimony there, you know, God just brings people to the church. It may not be the people we visit, but God blesses and other people come. They said that Eastgate's been averaging about 25 visitors a week since we started the faith program. That's an increase. I don't know what they were averaging before. But God is blessing as we are obedient. So I've got to move on. But the first fact is that not all people will be saved. The second fact is that the majority of people will be lost. But if we will share our faith more, we'll be saved. The third fact, many will perish who expect to be saved. Many will perish who expect to be saved. Again, Matthew 7:21, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven." This verse stresses a couple things, that salvation is not automatic, and secondly, many people think they're Christians, but they're going to wake up one day separated from God for eternity. I've got a question for you. Where are all the people who are in the membership rolls of our churches? I didn't look to see what the membership roll of your church is, but I don't think everybody's here today that's a member and could be here. And the average church, when you have a high attendance day, you're doing good to get 50% of your members there. So what about all those people who are members but never darken the doors of a church? I fear that most of them, or many of them, do not know the Lord personally. They joined the church, but they never received Christ as their Savior. And you know what? Joining a church doesn't make you a Christian any more than joining a fitness center makes you fit. When you join a fitness center, you're just not automatically fit, are you? Go and sign and give them the deeds, and all of a sudden you're healthy. You lose 20 pounds or 50 pounds or whatever you need to lose, and you're just the picture of health. No. Joining a church doesn't make you a Christian. Receiving Jesus makes you a Christian. Jesus said that many who think they're saved and are expecting to go to heaven will perish and go to hell. And that's a sad fact. Many people think they're saved and on the way to heaven, but they're going to perish because they don't know Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. They may be church members. They may have been baptized. Maybe their daddy was a preacher. Their grandpa was a deacon or something. But those things don't get you into heaven. Only by trusting in Jesus. And those who are lost, their only hope is the Holy Spirit working in their lives, and also the Holy Spirit working through another Christian to share the faith in Jesus Christ with them so that they could be saved. There are many people who will perish who expect to go to heaven. Moving quickly. Fourth fact. There is no chance for salvation after death. There is no chance for salvation after death. Do you remember what Abraham said to the rich man, Father Abraham, when the rich man, in the parable of the rich man Lazarus, and that story died, what Abraham said to the rich man, he said, "Between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us, or pass to anywhere else." There is no chance for salvation. Jesus said and made it very clear in Luke that once a person leaves this life, there are no more chances. There's not another chance for that person. Once you leave this life and find yourself in either heaven or hell, you can't change your zip code after that. There is no change of address forms in those locations for you to go somewhere else. You are there for eternity. There are repeated chances in this lifetime, and aren't you glad there are? I don't know. Personally, I don't know anybody who received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior the very first time they heard the gospel. The very first time they heard that they were lost and Jesus died for them. Now, somebody probably has, but I didn't. I'm glad that God gives second chances. I'm glad He gives many chances in this lifetime. Because most of us need more than one opportunity before we receive Jesus Christ. And maybe you're one of those persons and you've been putting it off still.